My name is James Strong, joined once again by my Cody Tanner, all the way down in West Virginia. Cody, how are you on this Sunday afternoon, early evening, I guess it is now?
Man, I'm fantastic. Just woke up from a nap. We were supposed to record this episode 3 hours ago, but you know what? Sunday naps are for winners in life, I guess. We'll go with that. How are you, James?
There you go. Doing all right, man. Been a long weekend, and going to be a short work week for me. I'm only working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's let's focus on the draft.
Let's focus on the draft. That is correct.
draft. Liquid death there.
Liquid nice, death. Nice. Yeah, man. Mountain water. Still drinking water. It's great. No more alcohol in my regimen at this point. Cut it off completely.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, it's not bad. So it's draft week officially. It's Sunday. The draft will be this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 3-day extravaganza. And I will for sure be live with James for round one draft pick that we have. James is going to try to go live on social media, all the draft picks. We'll see if we're able to make that work or not. I'll be working Friday, Saturday. So James, you can be on your own for those ones. but excited for the draft. And we did some mock drafts. So we did one already that we're going to discuss here in a minute. And then we're going to do one live on the show with you guys. But James, first, we have some more Steelers news.
Yeah, some more guys coming in for those top 30 visits. We knew we were getting pretty close, right around 20 or 28 total guys. Graham Barton and Peyton Wilson came in for top 30 visits. Graham Barton being the former left tackle, former center that I had in the first round of my mock draft most recently. Mm-hmm. And then Peyton Wilson, the middle linebacker, with a very serious injury history from his college days, but just as serious as his injury history is his athletic profile. He absolutely blew up the combine, ran like a 4.43 40, jumps were through the roof, just a physical specimen, big, tall, long dude. Not real heavy, though. I want to say he's only like 230 pounds or 235. He's a lighter dude for how tall he is. But insanely athletic, and definitely someone that's on the radar for the Steelers. They've brought a couple linebackers in, so some of these higher-end dudes are definitely on their radar.
Yep, and we like those insanely athletic middle linebackers. We went that way with Ryan Shazier. Devin Bush was kind of on that bubble. Patrick Queen definitely is that, and he's in the building now. So Peyton Wilson, definitely someone to keep your eyes on. We do have a list of all the top 30 visits now. James, you have that list in front of you?
I do, and there's going to be more than 30 names on here.
Yep.
So don't get too upset at me. If you're like, James, that's way more than 30. Some of these guys are going to be local visits if they went to school at Pitt or West Virginia or like Duquesne or any of those close nearby colleges within a certain mile radius. They don't count on the top 30. Also, if they went to high school in the Pittsburgh area, it does not count. So they don't count against the total number. Also, sometimes some of these guys were told that they came in for a pre-draft visit, and it's never confirmed by the team. So there might be one or two of these guys on this list that didn't actually come in that we think came in.
Yep.
The only reason we think they came in is because a Steelers reporter said so.
Yep.
So that just means that somebody got overzealous. This list brought to you by the fine folks at Steelers Depot, by the way. I don't want to take credit for something I didn't do here.
Yep.
But starting off with the wide receiver room, Ricky Pearsall, we know just now. Malachi Corley, the wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. He was one I think I took in my mock draft. Wide receiver Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Taj Washington out of USC. Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, one of the more controversial wide receivers who's most likely a first-round pick. Insanely athletic, big, tall, fast, jump ball specialist, but has an issue with effort when the ball is not coming his way. And then Ladd McConkey is a rumored one. A date was never a chance he didn't actually come in. So there's a lot of guys here, and it's a big variety, but you got a lot of guys that are route running specialists or bigger jump ball kind of guys. So interesting list there. Now, the next list is going to be offensive line, specifically offensive tackle. So Travis Glover of Georgia State came in. Talisa Fuaga of Oregon State, who some folks say might have to kick him to guard at the pro level. Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle out of Washington. Fuaga and Fontenot both expected to be first rounders, both expected to be gone by the time Pittsburgh drafts. But that does mean they're considering, hey, if any of these guys are available, we can't pass up on a top tier offensive tackle.
Yep.
Similar can be said about Amarius Mims, the next guy on the list. He is a date unknown guy, so he was reported to have come in, never reported by the team. There's a chance he did not come in. Matt Concaves out of Pittsburgh, who's a local visit, might have to play guard at the next level. Steven Jones from Oregon, Mason McCormick of South Dakota State, Blake Fisher, the right tackle out of Notre Dame, Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, and Travis Clayton from the United Kingdom. Yes, Travis Clayton is part of the International Pathway Program. So I don't believe he counted against the top 30 because of that. But I want to say he's like some huge dude, like 6'8", 275, 280, something like that. Sounds very similar to what Christian Scotland-Williams build was a few years ago. So it'd be fun to cheer for another kid like that. Be neat to see if he doesn't get drafted, if Pittsburgh brings him in as an undrafted guy. It'd be very interesting to see another project, a very, very raw project at that.
Yeah.
Next is the interior offensive linemen or centers on this list. Jackson Powers Johnson, the highly touted center out of Oregon. Zach Frazier, he was a local visit. He was the center from West Virginia. Graham Barton out of Duke. And Hunter Norzad, the center from Penn State, who is a transfer from like a one of the smarter schools, and then he came to Penn State to finish the last couple years. So Hunter Norzad would be like the fallback plan. If you don't get one of those top three centers, he's somebody you'd probably snag in the third or fourth round that has enough capability that you still might have an upgrade over what's currently on the roster.
Yep.
Next room, defensive line, Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He was a combine superstar. Put up an incredible resume. Literally the only bad thing about this dude, he's like 31 inch and change on his arms. Otherwise, he would be somebody I would be highly interested in for Pittsburgh. Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa was brought in. Darius Robinson, more of a defensive end type who could possibly kick inside a little. Mason Smith, we've talked about him on this show before, the defensive lineman from LSU. Logan Lee from Iowa, we've also talked about him on a mock.
Yep.
I don't recall if that was Nick's or Noah's, but one of the two of them drafted him.
Late. I think that was Nick. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure who it was, to be, but one of them did. Jaden Crumedy out of Mississippi State, he was a top 30 visit as well. Then we get into the middle linebackers. Peyton Wilson that we just talked about and Junior Colson of Michigan were both brought in.
Yeah,
Junior would probably be like a second or third round dude if they were going to do it. And Peyton Wilson, I think, would probably be the same, although I can't imagine him being there in the third still, but second maybe. Pretty long list on cornerbacks as well, which is the last group here. So we didn't have any quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, or safeties get brought in. Those are all positions you should not be putting in your mock drafts very high. If you're going to do it late. But don't do it in the first four rounds because it's not likely to happen if they didn't bring anybody into those positions.
Yep.
First one, cornerback MJ Devonshire out of Pittsburgh. Kind of an outside corner, but can play some nickel as well. Combine stats were fantastic on this kid. He did a real nice job there. Andrew Phillips, we've talked about him previously as a slot corner out of Kentucky. Nate Wiggins is expected to be a first-round corner from Clemson. If Nate had longer arms, I would be talking about him a lot. That is, his arm length and his weight are the two biggest things going against him. He weighed in at 172 or 173 at the combine, which is real skinny. And his arms were like 31 and change. They're kind of short on the arm length too, which was weird because the kid's like 6'2".
Yep. Yep.
Next on your list, Max Melton out of Rutgers. Max also had a really nice performance at the combine. I want to say 3.9 kid, in closer to 5.11. Probably could play both outside and inside with a lot of experience in slot. And my list just decided to refresh, so you're gonna have to give me a second.
We got Daquan Hardy. Daquan Hardy, the next one from Penn State.
Yep. Another slot corner.
Yep. Another guy, local visit. Another local visit was Beanie Bishop from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And then we ended it with the guy that James has been talking about for a year and a half. Cooper DeJean on the visit from Iowa came in April.
Cooper.
12. Cooper DeJean.
The man who can do it all, right?
Yep.
Outside corner, nickel corner, and safety. Oh, yeah. And punt return and kick return.
Yeah.
That's a fun part of this process, man. When you're watching a game to watch one specific player and one of his teammates who's not even old enough to be drafted yet is just having a tremendous game, and then you start learning more about that guy. And I would love to have him on the Steelers in a couple of years when he's eligible.
And then here he is coming in to visit. Yeah. So
here he is. Yeah.
Very exciting. The last little bit of news we have before we get into the two mock drafts, the two final mock drafts of the Steelers by the Lake pre-mock or pre-draft shows. Russell Wilson and Spencer Anderson spent some time together at a Pirates game where Russell Wilson actually came out and threw the first pitch. Interesting that he's hanging out with a backup lineman.
Drafted as a right tackle, played some interior last year. It makes sense if he thinks he needs to have chemistry with the center that this kid might be being told that he should be really brushing up on his center skills, which he does has some experience doing in college. So yet another thing pointing to Pittsburgh possibly looking to their own roster within in case the crap hits the fan and the draft doesn't play out the way they want to and they don't get one of their top targets. Maybe they do turn to Nate Herbig or Spencer Anderson for that starting center.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of teams that have needs at center that we're not talking about a lot. I mean, you know, Philadelphia just lost Jason Kelsey. Somebody else just lost.
Dallas is missing theirs.
Yep. There's a lot of teams that are short in that center room or just lost their starters. So it's going to be an interesting draft, I think, when it comes to the center position.
Before you move on to the mock draft, because that's the next thing that we've got on here. Also, the off-season workouts have begun for Pittsburgh. And the only reason I bring that up, basically, it's not a mandatory thing at this point. Most of the guys show up, usually the young guys and back of the roster guys.
Yep.
The most significant thing from there, Corey Trice appears to be participating fully.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That means he did come back all the way from that knee. It's likely already. And I can't imagine if he's practicing full unless he has a setback, which hopefully he doesn't have a setback, obviously.
Yep.
He should be good to go when the preseason comes. See a preseason of Corey Trice and see if he has the possibility of overtaking that corner number two position in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to see him take that position. I mean, again, Corey Trice was a guy that was coming in and had huge praise from training camp before he had the injury. So this is a guy that I'm very excited to see what he can do. Kind of, again, very similar to the Calvin Austin thing. We heard a lot of good things out of Calvin Austin. Went down with an injury, came in last year. Didn't have a phenomenal year by any means. I also don't think we utilized him very well. But we didn't utilize half the offense very well. So that's just kind of to be expected. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on to this mock draft. So this mock draft, we have been entertaining trades for some of these mock drafts. I am going to preface and start off by saying we did accept a trade in the first round. Yeah, open that drink. I hear it. What you got? Icy Light Mango?
No. Alani Energy Drink.
Oh, there you go. So we did accept the trade in the first round. We traded back from pick 20 to pick 27 with the Arizona Cardinals, and we also gave up pick 195, but we gained pick 66. Obviously, if that trade was real life, that's a huge improvement on your position of one of those draft picks. So at 27, we decided, James, to go and address that center position already. A little early on the pickup, but I also didn't expect him to be available when we were up again at 51. Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, was who we got at pick 27. And again, that's a day one starter. And we've talked a lot about Frazier. We've talked a lot about probably what, the second or third best center in this draft? Second, probably.
And it depends on who you talk to. Some people have him as the number one. So the order is kind of a jumbled thing. The only thing that's for sure is that there is a group of three guys that everybody considers the top three centers. It's Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Zach Frazier. And in this scenario, with us trading back to number 27, Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson were gone already. Also, Amarius Mims, J.C. Latham, the tackles that are most likely to slide down to that position, that area, they were gone.
Yep.
So it really put us in a situation that we could either reach for second round talent at other positions, or a guy that's kind of fringe first round to second round, who's going to be a day one plug and play center, plenty of anchor capability to not get back like we've been seeing with Mason Cole, better movement skills, and tons of experience at the center position. So I think if it works out this way, you trade back and actually acquire some additional compensation and still get your starting center in the first round, I think you got to be pretty happy with that. So keeping the West Virginia kid close to home, it's low on moving costs too, Cody.
Yeah, very low on moving costs. second round came, and we didn't like a whole lot of the options that were available. We saw some linebackers. There were a lot of wide receivers still left. And you know what? We decided to look at that defensive line, and a guy that we've been talking about for a few weeks now, I believe this was thanks to what, Noah, bringing this guy to our attention.
Yes.
Rook Aurora. I always mess that name up. Whatever. Rook was.
Everybody pronounced it is a different. I've heard Aurora. Yeah, like it's all over the place on what the pronunciation is.
Whatever. Not sure. Defensive tackle from Clemson coming in, shoring up that defensive front again. You got to think with the guys we brought in the recent years and the still having the stud of Cam Hayward, Rook's a day one starter would improve the pass rush pressure immediately from that inside position. So
yeah,
really like that pick.
And he gives you somebody in the mold physically of the Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt type. The problem that we're having with Larry Ogunjobi is that he's more the 4-3 defensive tackle type. Mm-hmm. So when he's trying to stack and shed and disengage people, he's just having a tough time doing it because he doesn't have the arm length like some of these other guys. Rook is someone who has very good arm length. We saw how important that was with Keanu Benton last year. Keanu was very good his rookie season with Pittsburgh, very disruptive, was great at disengaging and getting off of blocks and getting penetration. This is a guy that can do that sort of thing, can start for you as a 3-4 defensive end and kick inside in the nickel situation. He can do it all, and I think you'd have to be really ecstatic and look at as a similar value as to what you got with Stephon Tuitt when you drafted.
Yep. Yeah, very much so. James, you want to go over these third-round picks? Because we got three of them.
Three of them, thanks to us trading back in the first round. Our next pick was number 66, which is the beginning of the second pick of the third round. And we saw wide receiver Ricky Pearsall still available there. Mm-hmm. I believe that was one of Nick's selections in his mock draft. Ricky is an excellent route runner. He's an athletic dude. He's got a good size to him. I want to say he's about 6'6", 190. Ran in the 4.4s. He's got good speed. He's got everything that you're looking for in great tape in addition to it. So I would feel very confident if you're to get him that you could get him on the field right away. And I would think by the middle of the season, if not the end of the season, he's going to be your starting wide receiver opposite of George Pickens. So I felt like the value of being able to get a Ricky Pearsall in the third round was incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh were to be interested in him in the second round in real life due to the fact that he came in as a top 30 visit.
Yep.
And he really fits a lot of what Pittsburgh looks for. Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot does a lot of these, what the Steelers look for studies, where he kind of takes the measurements and all the combine results and stuff of guys that they've drafted at positions and averages them all out and says, well, here's about the range of what they look for. And Ricky hit that like dang near everything or everything. So he's a very good fit for what they look for. It would be a really nice addition to the team. Next pick around for us came at pick number 84. So we were just at 66. We're still in the third round. 84, I believe, is the natural pick for the Steelers in the third round. So we were sitting there and still didn't have an offensive tackle yet. We still didn't have a slot corner yet. And Mike Sanders was still available out of Michigan. Again, Mike, a top 30 guy, just like we had with Zach Frazier, just like Ricky Pearsall. These guys all came in for top 30 visits, just like we talked about, which means the team has extreme interest in these people. Mike thought of by most as the top nickel corner in this draft class. Very, very athletic for a shorter dude. Great tackler, good against the run, and fantastic in coverage. Pittsburgh's had a history lately of going towards the nickel corners that are better run than they are coverage. This is somebody that does both really well. You're not going to put him on the outside because he's only like 5'9". So he's not going to be an outside corner for you in the long term.
Yeah. One of the downfalls of him is he is a little bit older too. He'll turn 24 his rookie year. So a little bit of an older guy, but again, very versatile and day one starter. So
yeah. And that's the nice thing is that if you're going to get an older prospect, you better be get out. And I think that you'd start him right away if you did draft Mike Sanders still. So I would be real confident with that decision. As you heard us talking before these picks, we're kind of going over the biggest needs and trying to address those earliest. And a lot of things kind of fell fairly well for what we're looking for as far as positions. At this stage, it probably sticks out like a sore thumb if you're a big Steelers fan. You're wanting an upgrade over Dan Moore Jr. And the pick number 98, which is still in the third round, the right tackle, Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, was available. So we grabbed him up pretty quickly, thinking, hey, this is a guy that even if you're not going to start him right away, this is someone that as the season goes on, if Dan Moore struggles, you can slide Broderick Jones back over to his natural left tackle position, start Blake over on the right-hand side, and let's see if we fare better having him out there instead. But I think it would be a really quality pickup to a guy who could push Dan. And, man, Dan, you better not slip up, because if you do, Blake's taking your job.
Yeah, no, 100%. Looking into the fourth round, there was a little bit of a run on a few positions. Luckily, we've already addressed. There was a couple defensive tackles, a couple offensive tackles. Cornerbacks also taken before we came up at 119. And 119 came up in a linebacker that I personally haven't heard a lot of talk about. Tyrese Knight came up. So Tyrese Knight, a linebacker out of UTEP, which is University of Texas in El Paso. 6'5", 233 pounds, 32.5 inch long arms. Ran a 4.63 40, so he's not slow. That's good.
Nice.
That's what we need. 1.54 10-yard split, had a 34.5 on his vertical jump, 9.11 on his broad, and he actually did the cone and shuttle run, which we talked about before. 7.25 on the 3 cone and 4.4 on the 20-yard shuttle, and then 21 reps on the bench. Very respectable for his size and his position. A guy that can come in
230-pound linebacker, that's good.
Yeah. And a guy that comes in kind of, again, we talk about this a lot, kind of looks like a lump of clay guy. But comes in not expected to start day one. I don't believe he's not expected to do anything crazy. But this is a guy that has the physique ability to be quick with guarding tight ends, guarding anyone out of the backfield outside of, you know, super quick running backs. But with the depth chart or in the depth struggle we've been having with middle linebacker position with injuries over the past, 4 years, it feels like, this is a guy that comes in and is immediately day one depth piece and probably getting in rotation throughout the year. So getting some action.
And one of the things that we've talked about is with the addition of the new kickoff rule, where the kick coverage unit and the return, they're all going to start off standing 10 yards away from each other. And it's a lot more of like a regular offensive or defensive play. So it's going to be more important to have linebackers and more of them than that you can play on special teams who can defeat a block and get off of it to go make a tackle, because you're going to need to do that. Middle linebackers, that's their specialty typically. So I do expect Pittsburgh to draft a middle linebacker. I kind of don't expect it before the third round, though. I think the first two rounds, there's no way unless somebody that they think is the top talent drops down to them. But I think, you know, fourth and sixth round, you should definitely be expecting that to happen, because they've done their homework on middle linebackers. They might have only brought two in, but they went and visited a lot of pro days. So they're doing a lot of homework middle linebackers, and they need to restock the room.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. We did not have a fifth round pick with the way that we did the trades. We had, if I'm not mistaken, only one pick in the sixth round, and it was our last pick of the draft. And it was early. It was the second pick overall in the sixth round. And we addressed the center position. We addressed the wide receiver position. We addressed the tackle position late, but we still got it. We addressed the cornerback room in that second round.
D-line
was addressed. The D-line was the second round pick. It was time to kind of just take a shot at something here. And we saw a player that fell. And again, with the kickoff rules in place, we thought that there's a chance Pittsburgh might keep four tight ends this year going into the regular season. So Theo Johnson from Penn State, and you know we're big Penn State guys, was still available at 178. So we did not blink an eye and picked him up real quick. Theo's a little bit shorter, I think, than some of our other tight ends. He's only 6'3". No, I lied. He's 6'6". No. He's 6'6". I was processing the other guy that we were going to draft. Stover. Stover 6'3".
Oh, Stover was 6'3"? Okay. Yeah. 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 Theo's a very big man. It is 6'2", 58, 259, 33 inch on his arm length. Ran a real nice 40-yard dash. He was in the, what was it, the low 4.57 on his 40-yard dash with a 1.55 10-yard split. So that's nice getting out of the gate. 39.5, I'm sorry, on the vertical, which is very good for such a large human being. And then a 10'5" broad, nice job on his shuttles as well. This is a really, really athletic, big, strong tight end who can block, and very much so in a similar mold with Pat Freiermuth, except for a better blocker of the run after catch. He's one of those guys that when defenders hit him to try to bring him down, he doesn't just go down. There's a lot of yards after contact with guys like Theo Johnson. So I think if someone of that skill level is available in the sixth, he probably should go in the third or fourth. You jump all over it and you figure the other thing. I don't know that you really need as many on the roster anyway. So keep the extra tight end, since you're expecting to do a lot of two and three tight end sets, and they're going to be very useful in the kick return game now.
Yep. Yeah. Very, very useful for sure. Now it's time. We're going to go ahead, and if you're watching on YouTube, you're actually going to get to watch this draft live. We're going to do a live draft here on the show and kind of just go over, explain our decision-making, maybe accept some trades depending if we think they're realistic and stuff like that. So let's go ahead and get right into that. All right, so we're going to go ahead and enter this solo draft. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll get to see the draft, the order, the way things fall. We're not going to talk about every single draft pick, obviously, but the things that are exciting or interesting to us, we will discuss. So it's kind of simulating through the first round right now. A lot of names still on the board, in my opinion. Honestly, this might be, okay, Amarius Mims just went at 17. To the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we have some trade offers here that I don't think James and I are going to even entertain, because all of them are bumping us out of the first round, which is not something we want to do. Outside of this one, James, this one is a little interesting here from Miami. They want to move up one pick from 21 to 20, but give up 55 for our 84.
I would be strongly interested in that, because I think the needs of the Miami Dolphins, I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at a top defensive tackle that slid here.
Mm-hmm.
because they have a pretty large void there. So that's something that, to me, when you look at these, you got to look at who. So if we look real quick to see, are there more than one person here that we'd be happy with? Looks like J.C. Latham is still available. He's an offensive tackle that would be an amazing pick here. Nate Wiggins, the corner, is still available. Cooper DeJean still available. Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson. So two of the top rated centers in this draft class.
Yep.
I'm very comfortable with the names that are available in one spot. And I won't be surprised if this is Byron Murphy. It looked like he was available still.
Yep.
The defensive tackle.
So we accepted that trade and immediately get another trade offer. They actually, the Dolphins actually wound up taking Tyler Guyton, excuse me, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Not even one of the top ones, you know, that we've surprised been discussing.
Surprised to see that over J.C. Latham for sure.
Yeah. So we do have two trade offers here. Arizona trying to move up from 27 to 21 and giving us 66 for 195. I believe this is almost the identical trade we had with them in our mock draft that we just talked about. And then also Kansas City wanting to move up from 32 to 21 and giving up 64 for 98, including a 2025 second round pick. Now this one in real life would be very interesting, but I don't think that we're going to accept that one because we want to get this first round pick. James, it's up to you with this moving back to 27. We have a lot of options right now, but I do believe there's a good chance all those options are gone if we wind up backing down to 27 this time.
I agree with you on that. I think the risk is too high in moving back that many spots. So I wouldn't be interested in going back that many. I would say let's kind of survey the land. And so the offensive tackle room, I think I saw J.C. Latham was available.
Yep, J.C. Latham.
Which is not something that is expected to happen in real life.
No, not even close. And that's what sucks about some of these drafts. If you guys ever do these, is because some things happen that you're like, oh, that's not going to happen in real life. But you're excited to do it. Again, I think Nate Wiggins falling here, Cooper DeJean being here, all very realistic things. I don't expect Graham Barton to be here at 21. Jackson Powers Johnson potentially could be. But there's a lot of guys that fell in this draft. Cooper DeJean, again, being the excited one, that it's hard to pass up. But when you have these guys fall, J.C. Latham, Graham Barton, you kind of got to second guess yourself. James, yeah. I'm okay with all three of those guys. At this point, I think Graham Barton, Cooper DeJean, or J.C. Latham are our top picks because two of them aren't supposed to be there.
Correct. Yeah, and if it's me in this situation and if I were front office, I would just be kind of floored that J.C. Latham's still available there. This is an offensive tackle expected to go in the top 10, top 15 to still get that value at number 20. It's a mammoth human being.
At 21.
Right? At 21. And we're talking in Alabama. So this is one of those guys where Pittsburgh went to the pro day. They brought the house to that pro day. They met with him at the combine. They did all that stuff. Yeah, I would be really, really strongly interested in J.C. Latham at this point. 6'5", 342, 35 and an 1/8-inch long arms. Like, I don't see where we have a problem here. If you want to run the ball, you want guys like this. And Pittsburgh has a very strong interest in running the ball. That's where I would be leaning right now.
I'm with you. The playmaker excitement, wanting to see some crazy plays in me, wants to pick up Cooper DeJean.
I want Cooper.
Oh, I know. And the fact that I think there's more talent going to be available in the second, potentially third round at center makes me also look more at that tackle position as well. J.C. Latham off the board at 21 to Pittsburgh here. Graham Barton just went. Jackson Powers Johnson went. Nate Wiggins just went. Guys that we were all looking at. Real excited to see how this plays out. Cooper DeJean is still on the board, James.
What?
Cooper DeJean just went at 38 to the Tennessee Titans. So
that's crazy.
Wild how this draft worked out very well. Ruka Aurora Aurora just went. So that's interesting. Zach Frazier just went. So it's going to be interesting here. And we got one trade offer that we're not even going to look at. Very interesting how this all worked out. We are in a spot now where some of our safety nets, I feel like, that we normally go to for drafting are gone in this second round. Safety from Minnesota, Tyler Newbin fell. You have an edge rusher from Penn State, Adisa Isaac fell.
Adisa Isaac,
excuse me. Edrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M, is here. That's an interesting pick. Oh, man.
Yeah, so let's scroll through the positions here. Center, the top three all right.
Yep. We have Cedric Van Pran-Granger left.
I don't think he's worth taking in the second round. Mm-mm. So I would say we move to a different position. We've already taken care of offensive tackle, so we're good there. What's the wide receiver position looking like?
You got Troy Franklin from Oregon, Jalen Polk from Washington, mm-hmm. Roman Wilson from Michigan, someone that some fans from Pittsburgh are very excited about potentially teaming him up with George Pickens. All guys still available there. And then obviously Ricky Pearsall is still there as well.
Okay. So some potential there with a couple of those. Next, we'd want to look at corner to see if there's any corners maybe here.
Kalen Carson from Wake Forest, Chris Abrams, Drain, DJ James. No one's really fallen at this point.
Okay. And then you had brought up middle linebacker.
Yep, Edrin Cooper.
Do we have all of them still?
Edrin Cooper, Peyton Wilson are still here. Yep.
Yep. So the top guys are still there. Last thing to really check is defensive. That could be a defensive tackle type that might have survived this onslaught here.
Leonard Taylor to the third, Michael Hall Jr., Chris Jenkins are the top three on the board. Braden Fisk is another guy that we've talked about, but at this pick, I think
it's too
high. One
of the guys that I'm low-key really high on is Chris Jenkins.
Mm.
Chris Jenkins is a second-generation player. He's out of Michigan. They always send the house every year to Michigan. And Chris Jenkins really fits the mold of what Pittsburgh looks for in a 3-4 defensive end minus one category, his height. And his height isn't that far off. He's like 6'3".
6'2".
Listed
as 6'2" here.
You got 6'2" on him?
Yep. Unless this is wrong, which there's always a chance of that.
That's the first time I've heard that measurement on him. But at the combine, he weighed in 6'2" and 6'8". So he's a quarter of an inch short of 6'3". So basically 6'3". 299, 34 inch long arms. Ran a 4.9 140 with a 1.7 split. 29 reps on the bench, and some good jumps as well. I'm telling you that if Chris Jenkins somehow is there in the second round, I'm as excited about that as I am about Rook Ororo. If either one of those two is available in the second round, I think you have a guy that can really, really help change your outlook of what that defensive line unit is. With him and Keanu Benton, you might have your bookends for the next 10 years on the defensive line.
Well,
so I would be very excited about the possibility of Chris Jenkins, but I wouldn't want to rule out those middle linebackers too, because we – do run a 3-4. It does take two middle linebackers.
That's true. James, you got me so excited here, and I want to do something different. Let's go Chris Jenkins.
I like it.
I want to have as many mock drafts taking as many guys that we're interested in as possible so that we have chances of hitting on them. And Chris,
I low-key think that if Pittsburgh were to trade back in the first round, that Chris Jenkins is someone that they would the first.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like Cam Hayward was not supposed to be there at the end of the, I think that they might look at him in a very similar. Most people have Chris Jenkins listed as their number three defense in this draft class. So why he's down at like number five or six on this particular site, I'm not sure. It's just how they evaluate versus other people. But literally if he was a couple inches taller, he'd be exactly what. But those top couple guys this year, you know, your Johnny Newton and your Byron Murphy, they don't have the length that he has.
Yep.
They're both right around 32 inches, maybe a hair over length. 34 inches is incredible length for a guy like him. So yeah, I would be ecstatic to get Chris Jenkins, and you know how Pittsburgh loves those second generation guys.
Well, and here's the fun part. We're also up in 4 picks. So Chris Jenkins was brought in, and Edrin Cooper, the linebacker, was the biggest name that came off the board right before us to the Cleveland Browns. So we're still sitting here with all these guys that we're looking at. Peyton Wilson is available, that we've talked about a few times. On the offensive.
This is what number pick now? 55?
55, yep. This was the one that was involved with the trade from Miami. So we gave we gave up 84 but got 55. Roman Wilson's here. Ricky Pearsall, we're looking wide receiver. As far as offensive center, nobody's came off the board that I've seen, obviously, since then. But there's not a whole lot of, in my opinion, guys that we'd be interested in right now.
Somebody we can snag later.
Later.
So, looks like a 6th round pick or something.
Cornerback room. Sandra Still's still there. Newton's still there. Mm-hmm. Phillips is still there. I almost feel like it's time to go wide receiver again. And maybe we pick up Roman Wilson this time. Maybe we pick up someone different.
Yeah. I mean, we know how much Pittsburgh loves drafting from Michigan. It's definitely a big thing. What's the offensive tackle? Well, we already got our tackle.
Yep, we got our tackle.
Yeah, we got our tackle. Yeah, so, I mean, wide receiver, corner, center, that's what we should be looking at. And the value's not there, so wide receiver and corner, unless we want to kind of go very unconventional and take the highly athletic middle linebacker.
You talking about Peyton Wilson, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's – I mean, it would be a very unconventional thing, but – Pittsburgh just brought him in for a top 30 visit.
Well,
they definitely have interest in him.
Let's bring him in, and we'll see what wide receivers fall to pick at 98 when we're up again.
All right.
It's a long wait, but Peyton Wilson was the one. And I'll kind of watch here and name the guys that are falling as wide receivers come off the board. Roman Wilson at 60 to the Buffalo Bills. Troy Franklin from Oregon at 63. I'm trying to see if Pearsall falls again, because that would be just tremendous.
Wilson went, you said?
Yeah, Roman Wilson went fairly quickly after us.
I expect him to be gone by then.
Pearsall.
Honestly, I expect Pearsall to be gone too.
Yeah, Pearsall's gone. He's staying in Florida. He's going to Jacksonville.
good for him.
Yeah, good job, buddy. Blake Fisher, an offensive tackle we drafted in the last draft, just went. A lot of names coming off the board here. But we'll see.
Did Cedric Van Pran Granger out of... did you see his name?
I don't recall. You're talking about the
center.
He
Georgia.
Did. I don't know where he went, but he did go. Oh, he went 65.
Okay.
So he is gone. So we're up again. Here, wide receiver. The first one available is Jalen McMillan, Johnny Wilson. Not a ton of huge names here. We also have Luke McCaffrey later on available as well.
What pick number is this that we're at?
This is 98.
98.
A safety that I've drafted, Javon Bullard from Georgia, is available. Mm-hmm. A position we've kind of been not drafting in the past few mock drafts, I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm all right with taking a safety, but I don't want to take a safety before a nickel corner or a wide receiver.
That's fine. Well, Mike Sandra still. I think that's
the top available.
I think that's and he's rated 98 on their list, and we're at 98. I think that's the move. I don't even think we need to debate
it. That's incredible value. You've already heard us talk about this young man times. I'm addicted to the thought of Pittsburgh drafting Mike Samerstall.
This is like your second favorite pick outside of Cooper DeJean.
I think he's going to be a tremendous slot corner in the NFL. I just really
Well, he was picked up. We'll see who falls off the board before we're back up at 119 here. Cade Stover, the tight end, just went. We got some safeties going and offensive.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah, really, really early.
So we just have, what, 2 picks left, or do we have 3 picks still?
I'm pretty sure we have 3 picks still. We have 119, 178, and 195.
Okay.
So we have 3 picks. We're up here again at 119.
So we really need to start addressing the wide receiver position at this point, because you're going to be concerned as to whether or not anybody takes this late in the draft. is going to be able to start for you.
Jermaine Burton, Malik Washington, and Brendan Rice are the top available. Brendan Rice obviously being the son of former amazing greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL, Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, so like there's a large gap between where Pittsburgh picks here and their next pick all the way to the sixth round.
Right? Yep.
So sometimes rather than the rankings of the website, you're better off leaning towards top 30 visits and people that you know your team is interested in and people that they've gone to visit at their pro day, that sort of thing. And saying that has me leaning towards Luke McCaffrey in this situation.
And I'm fine
a
with route that.
Runner, a good athlete, a good sized individual, not massive, but again, we want that wide receiver opposite George Pickens to be somebody who's good in and out of breaks and good route runner to be able to get some separation quickly in those situations where there's a quick blitz coming and there's quick pressure. You need to get the ball out now. Who's going to be able to defeat that one-on-one very quickly and have a little separation for Russ Wilson or Justin Fields to be able to throw the ball? I would really not mind seeing Luke McCaffrey. Steelers uniform.
Yep, Luke McCaffrey. Here we go. Pittsburgh Steelers bring you in at 119. And now, again, like you said, it's going to be a long wait before we're up again. We're going to see probably a couple names that we were interested in fall. Oh, Brendan Rice to the Baltimore Ravens. That would be interesting.
they don't use their wide receiver.
That's true. That's very true. I'm looking for any big names that we've looked at in the past. Theo Johnson at 142. To the Carolina Panthers?
No!
correct me if I'm wrong. Have we addressed the... Joe Milton's gone. Darn. Have we addressed the center position? I don't think we did yet.
We have not, no. So we're probably... into sixth.
Yeah, that's it's kind of a concerning thing here, but we'll see where we're at. And again, you know, maybe we have the future starter in Spencer Anderson. We talked about that earlier, that he's hanging out with Russell Wilson. Maybe Pittsburgh.
And they're very clearly going to give Nate Hurd as well. So
yep. So we're up again. As soon as I look at offensive center, Hunter Norzard from Penn State. Norzad, excuse me.
Top available center too?
He's the top one available. All guys available. Tommy Eichenberg. But again, we already brought in the linebacker from North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm honestly thinking we go center on this pick.
Yeah, and again, that's a top 30 guy. He doesn't count because State, but they brought him in for a visit. They clearly have interest in him. He's got lots of experience at the center position. You might even be able to start him as a six-round draft pick. There's a real possibility of that.
Well, we're bringing him in. Here he is at 178. Pittsburgh's last pick at 195 will come up, and you know there's a limited number of positions we're still kind of looking at. You know, you could bring in a safety, you could bring in a tight end, you could technically bring in another offensive lineman if somebody fell that you were excited about. But here we are sitting here, and we're up at 195, James, and there's a lot here, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think when we look at what we've addressed in the draft, so we've hit every need position, I would say. So you can kind of use this as your one lottery pick, right? So if there's a quarterback available that you really like I know you're really into Joe Milton. I like the idea of Joe Milton as well. If he were here, that's somebody that you should probably consider.
He's gone.
If there's a what's that?
He's gone.
Yeah, I figured he probably would.
Yep. Sam Hartman's here, the quarterback from Notre Dame that people were talking about a little bit.
Okay. If there's a wide receiver that you wanted to take a shot at, not uncommon for Pittsburgh to take two wide receivers. Corner, double dipping at the corner position isn't an off. A safety, you know, the safety room, there isn't really a lot as far as young guys for future.
The biggest name safety here is that Sione Vaki from Utah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, isn't a horrible pick here. He's 5'11", 210 pounds. There's just not a lot of options, James. I don't know what you're thinking here.
Yeah. Yeah, Vaki, not a real athletic freak. Real good acceleration numbers, a good strong bench, but a 4.6 240. So not the fastest dude in the world, but not what you don't expect to get great numbers in this late. What about corner? I'm curious if there's anybody that I have any familiarity with this late.
Tarib Still, De'Andre Prince, Willie Drew are the top three. Miles Harden. Not a lot of names that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be too uncommon, right? This late in the draft, you don't necessarily expect to find guys that you're going to be super familiar with. The Prince kid out of Mississippi, De'Andre Prince.
Yep.
6 foot, 183. Shorter arms, 30 3/4, but ran a 4.38 40 with a 1.47 split. 34.5-inch vert, 10.5 on a broad. You know, we're always talking lump of clay, guys. This is good size and speed.
Well, and in that AFC, especially that AFC North, speed on the wide receiver position is a huge thing. You got to have someone on defense that's going to keep up with these guys. Lump of clay, bring him in, get him situated in the NFL and readjusted to technique and play type and play style. Maybe you can keep up with some of these Tyreek Hills and Jamar Chases. So I'm okay with Prince if that's where you want to go.
I'm just checking a couple other guys real quick here. Near the bottom, near third one. What's the name on that?
The third
Willie
one?
Drew, is that it?
Willie Drew, yep.
Willie Drew. Just seeing what I can come up with on Willie real quick here. Willie's another decent option, Cody.
What do we got?
Actually, maybe a better option here out of Virginia State. 5'11 and 5'8, so almost 6 foot tall, 191. So he's got a better body weight going. 32-inch arms, so better length for sure. A 4.46 40, so still quite fast. 13 reps on the bench. He didn't do any of the agility jumps. Maybe that's a little bit better option out of the two of those guys.
James? I think it's meant to be. I'm in West Virginia right now. He's from Virginia State. It's close enough. Willie Drew is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Willie Drew, future stud corner.
Future starter. That's what's going to happen. So that's going to round up that draft. I'm just kind of curious to see who's coming off the board here as we continue moving forward. Any other names we were looking at? Prince just went at 209. Oh, nothing too crazy happening here. Again, we don't have a seventh round pick. It's going to be a very slow day three for Pittsburgh fans. So,
yeah, and I really don't expect them to trade back into the seventh for anybody.
No. Oh, my gosh, no.
And next year's draft class is expected to be a lot deeper in the later rounds. So I could see Pittsburgh pulling off a trade somewhere that involves future compensation into next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you don't want to see it. And we just generally don't do that when we're doing these drafts just because it's
boring.
It's anticlimactic.
It's right? Very boring.
It's very anticlimactic to trade the picks away and then not even trade. But in real life, if you can get some good compensation into a future class where you think maybe the talent might be a little bit deeper later, that's not a bad thing. It's a great year for Pittsburgh to be done drafting in the sixth round because it's just, you know, those seventh round guys are normally going to be undrafted guys this year.
Yeah. So again, let's look at this list. JC Latham at 21, a guy that should not be there. Chris Jenkins, again, defensive tackle that James believes Pittsburgh, you know, if he's available in the first, there's some interest there. Peyton Wilson at 55, the highly athletic middle linebacker from North Carolina State. Mike Sanders still, again, picking him up at 98 from Michigan. Day one starter at cornerback, Luke McCaffrey, a agile receiver from Rice. Again, son of I can't remember the guy's name.
Ed
McCaffrey, brother of Christian McCaffrey. Hunter Norzad, the offensive center from Penn State. And the cornerback, future Hall of Famer, Willie Drew. So not a bad draft, to say the least. Again, hopefully you guys can share some mock drafts with us before the draft actually happens. If you guys hit on some names, we'll be more than happy to talk about that on the next show. We will be live for the draft, but again, one last look: JC Latham, Chris Jenkins, Peyton Wilson, Mike Sanders, still Luke McCaffrey, Hunter Norzad, Willie Drew. There's James with the number one draft pick. We'll be live
for the number one draft pick.
We will. We will be live for that number one draft pick for sure. But let's go ahead and touch base on a couple things.
So in review this upcoming weekend here, draft starts on Thursday. Cody and I are going to try together on that to give you our thoughts on who's available right before the pick and then who Pittsburgh decided to pick in the first round. I'm going to try to go live on most of the rest of the picks if I am able to do so, which I plan on being glued to the television. So if there is anything that you have questions on, feel free to post questions on Facebook or tag us on Twitter, or even in the comment section of the video on YouTube here. We'll be more than happy to talk any questions or just talk Steelers football with us. We love doing it. It's a passion of ours. That's why we've been doing this for 5 years together now. So we will be giving more action to you real soon here.
Yeah. So again, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, remember to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I already said that. YouTube, subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Don't forget those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts for James here. He gets real excited like a kid on Christmas morning. And again, this is James and Cody signing off.
Peace.